This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We are Dukes and Bell. Say it with us, everybody. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We're hanging down out here at Napa Auto Parts, Jonesboro Road. And, Mike, look at the line for these Falcon
what
flags.
What a crew. What a great bunch of people, man. We got some guys. One guy, Carl, he had photos of us from the paper football flipping contest at Andretti's, man. So these
wow.
Are some loyal listeners. It's so funny. We got some lovely ladies taking some pictures. Guy's like, hey, can you take the picture? So on his name thing, it said Suede.
Okay.
He goes, you're the only guy who's ever gotten it right. I'm like, what do they think you are, from Somalia? Like Suede? You know? But so shout out to Suede. He's a big lister. And Donnie, Ricky, Danny. It's like the Mickey Mouse Club. Jimmy.
Wait a minute. Was that the new edition?
Ronnie? No, this is the new edition. Yes, Southside new edition right here. But great crowd. They're getting their Falcon flags. Freddie the Falcon is here. Reps from the Falcons as well. So come on down, guys. The flag giveaway goes on until 7. We're on the air till 6, and then it's Chris Thomas, but you can get down here to 7 at the Napa on Jonesboro Road in Mara.
All right, Falcons play Sunday, we know that. We talked to Rick Stroud earlier in the show. He covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, has covered the NFL for 30 years, great guest. If you missed the interview, go check it out. But one of the things he mentioned, Mike, is speaking of being down an offensive lineman, they are going to be down an offensive lineman, and Tristan Wirfs, who's one of the best offensive linemen in the league, is probably not going to play, and a guy named Charlie Heck is his backup. Now, we've talked a lot about our backup in Elijah Wilkinson.
Who the heck is Charlie Heck?
So this is the thing. And he laid out Charlie Heck. He said, look, played practice squad guy last year, comes over. But he's saying, and I think Tampa fans are saying the same thing about their O-line right now that we're saying. Can this guy hold up? How much pressure does he put on Baker Mayfield to have to get rid of the football? And is he going to be able to run block the way that they are accustomed to with Tristan Wirfs being in there? I don't think they are. So that's one thing. Then the other thing he pointed out is, Mike, one of their wide receivers in Chris Godwin will probably not play.
But I've been telling you all offseason, just from what I'm hearing from our buddies JP and from texting with Rick, they love Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State. And did you hear Rick gushing about him?
He did.
So that's a weapon, guys, we're going to have to account for. Now, this gets into how does our new secondary, whether it's going to be Watts and Bowman, in addition to Hughes on the one side opposite A.J. Terrell, this is a guy they're going to probably use all over the field and look for mismatches or look for quick hits and use his athleticism and speed the same way we're going to use when he's 100% healthy, Darnell Mooney and or Ray McCloud.
What's up, Darnell? And the good news about Darnell is, Mike, he was back at practice today. Again, everything is trending in the right direction.
Right.
But we could sit here and tell you, and I don't know if we'll be able to tomorrow, to say expect to see Darnell Mooney starting on Sunday against the Bucs. I'm not ready to go there. Does he play? He even said today, we will see. That was Darnell Mooney as he spoke to the media today. Let me hear it, Big O, back at the studio as we're down here. Napa Auto Parts, guys. Falcons handing out the flags for the season. And Freddie, the Falcons down here. And I mentioned this. They are also doing this in Douglasville. So if you can't make this location, you can go to Douglasville location and also get your Falcon flags. Let me hear what Darnell Mooney said today.
We'll see. It's a game time decision. Got some things we gotta, you know, look at the end of the week. And but like I said, I'm feeling good.
He's not playing.
Game time decision.
He's not playing.
I don't think so.
I don't
either.
Know. I just like the G Money and Day Day and that's you know, yeah, man, I'm amped. We'll be ready. Now that's game time. We'll see. Now unless you know Darnell's just on the low key kind of tip, but what's your spidey sense?
It's a game time decision.
Now again, for you kids out there, when you ask your dad or mom, "Can we go to the store? I want to get a toy," and they say, "We'll see."
We'll see.
That's adult no. For no.
It's a no.
We'll
so
see.
I'm going to
we'll
say
see.
That's
a.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Okay, so today he was, as they listed him for practice, and whether you buy into this or not, but all teams have to put these reports out. So there's full participants, right? Full participation.
Right.
And then there's limited participation. Darnell Mooney was listed on there because of the shoulder injury. Clark Phillips is listed on there because of the rib. And we know both of those guys have been ailing and trying to get back. A.J. Terrell was on the limited participation group today, but it's not injury related. He was resting.
Okay.
They gave him rest.
Veteran rest.
Yes, okay. And that happens with veteran players sometimes. And then Ray McLeod was on there. But he's not injured either. He was also a guy that was given a day to not go as hard because he's coming off of those injuries that he was dealing with.
But that's why we also carried 7 wide receivers.
Yes.
You know, going and Kadarrell Hodge was also dealing with some injuries. So that's part of your special teams unit too. But that's why Casey Washington going to be a big part of this, I mean, offensive attack,
Mike, if he
outside of Drake
if he,
London?
If he plays like he practiced in camp,
right,
then he can contribute. But he's not going to be a main factor, and that's the part where we get back to Pitts.
Right.
I'm not expecting Casey Washington to have, you know, 150 yards and 2 touches. But he could have 6 balls, you know, maybe 8 targets or something of that nature, depending on what the game plan plays out to be. But I don't even know if that's asking too much. The reason why I bring up this limited participation thing is you got 2 guys on this, and if you saw this and you looked at it, you went, oh, A.J. Terrell's hurt. No, he wasn't, and neither is Ray McLeod. But Clark Phillips and Darnell Mooney are still on that because of the injuries they're trying to come back from. It's Dukes and Bell, guys, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talk about the Falcons and this matchup with the Bucks coming up, by the way, Mike Griffith from Dog Nation is going to join us to talk some college football, talk about the Dogs as they get ready for Austin Peay. If you missed our conversation with Barbara Dooley, unbelievable stuff from Barbara today, as she always shows up and shows out. It's online as well at odyssey.com. All right, Mike, let me ask you this. Falcons run game. We got to establish the run. The Bucs held the Falcons to 73 yards rushing last year. Game 2, we ran for 129 yards. Now, the irony to both of those games is we won both.
Right.
But we know how we won one versus the other, right? If one felt like, oh, my God, it was a miracle catch run for Kadarrell Hodge. But we got to be able to run the ball. I don't know if, Mike, if we win, if we only rush for 73 yards on Sunday.
No, I think you got to run for more than that. Maybe in this, we don't even talk about his name. It's Tyler Allgeier. You know, Tyler Allgeier can always move the chains. But Tyler Allgeier in some of those situations. And, again, I think finding that mix. And Zach Robinson, we always said about Shanahan, the 2016 season, knowing when to go with Devontae Freeman, knowing when to go with Tevin Coleman. So let's get those guys. Let's get Allgeier in the mix, too, because this is the last year we got him. Might as well use it or lose it, right? In that mix over the course of 17 weeks. But, yes, establish the run. Can you run to the right side with Elijah Wilkinson the way you normally would with Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry? We're going to find out. Can Bijan?
You got to try.
And I want to see Bijan swing pass. Bijan quick hits. Bijan out of the backfield.
Well, you're talking to Zach Robinson.
Yeah, man, but I want to see some imagination.
Action. Some action.
I'm not going to say the line about certain things shaking with kids in the crowd, but you get the idea. I want to see some action. But there are ways to mitigate some of that pass rush, especially if the heat's coming from that right side.
Let me ask you this. This is something Jesse Bates said today in regards to our defense. And I was going back and forth, and I want to give the brother some credit because we were just talking, and I jumped into a conversation that he was having with Mark Raimondi about Jeff Ulbrich. And yesterday we asked Coach Ra about Jeff Ulbrich, and he said, look, here's why I trust him, and this is how our relationship came about. But a guy named Brian – we were going back and forth, and he was like, look, I'm going to wait. This is his last comment. I'm going to wait and see approach. I'm not being negative, not being necessarily positive. I just want to see it unfold because the trust factor is lacking based on what I saw last year. I said I had no problem with that. But I also think Jeff Ulbrich brings more experience than the guy we had in here in Jimmy Lake last year. So to say that and then to hear what Jesse Bates said today, and I'm just reading this, Mike. Bates was asked about Jeff Ulbrich. Now, you tell me, I don't know if he's taking a shot or if he's just stating facts. But he says, the thing about Jeff Ulbrich is we're talking about a guy that actually played 10 years in the league.
Right.
And there's a difference for a guy who's seen it and been there versus a guy who hadn't. That's Jesse Bates.
Talking about basically, in essence, if you read between the lines, what we knew from about the fourth week of the season, that Jimmy Lake wasn't the man for the job.
Yes.
And that was, again, this goes back to when guys get on me, they go, man, why are you so hard on Coach Raheem Morris all the time? I said, well, I mean, putting your staff together is part of the overall grade. And when you've got a guy that you've got to take over for because he's not cutting the mustard, that's not part of your job. You failed that area. So, in Jeff Ulbrich, if we don't remember, guys, remember, he literally looked like a pro wrestler when he had the Mohawk playing for the 49ers. Jeff is that kind of linebacker with the crazy eyes,
yeah,
like Vrabel and all that. So, he has the experience. So, he's got the respect of the guys in that room. That's interesting. That's a very interesting quote.
It is. And you're talking about one of the best safeties in the league. But what he's telling you is the experience is there. That's what he's telling you. And here's the quote. He's somebody who played in the NFL for 10 years. It's a little different when it's someone who's been in this seat. So, hopefully that plays into our favor.
Hey, man, we got a team that we're pretty high on. Rest of the country doesn't know what we are yet. I've said that a few times because guys keep asking us about why are we underdogs. And it's funny because great factoid, I had this to start the show, so I'll bring it up one more time. Basically, underdogs, guys, because the first week, remember some teams don't get to play all their starters in the preseason? Sometimes that might be the favorite. In this case, for us, we are the underdogs. But it is interesting, when you look at the numbers, underdogs actually do better, Carl, in week one. And division underdogs are really good. A divisional underdog since 14, 37-15-1, 22 games over 500 as the dog. And by the way, week one underdogs are 20 games over 500 since 2000. So a dog like us, just slightly at 2 points, seems like a good play. I'm going to take the Falcons.
What about the Cowboys?
Cowboys, that number is way too big, and that's why a lot of folks like you say take Dallas, because it moved up to 9.
It's crazy.
Or 8.5 in some books.
That's crazy. Hey, man, we're coming back. Mike Griffith is going to join us from Dog Nation. What should we expect with the Dogs? Dialing up a little bit more this week as Tennessee is looming. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk some Dogs, guys. Mike Griffith joins us from Dog Nation. Last week was interesting, Mike, and appreciate you jumping on with us again. And we look forward to our weekly visits with you as we get ready for an incredible, hopefully an incredible season for the Dogs. But Mike and I were saying this, and you said it last week, like how much would they show against Marshall? And I don't think they had to show a whole lot. They dominated where they needed to dominate. But if you had something to take away from the game that you felt like they need to improve on, what would that be, Mike Griffith?
Oh, wow. You know, there was a few things. You know, they had some issues in short yardage. I think there were four situations where they had third and three or less with their starters in the game. They only converted once. That was when Gunner ran it. So, you know, that short yardage offense is something Kirby's talked about. Gunner really didn't put it downfield. Now, to be fair, Marshall was playing a lot of cover three. So there were a couple opportunities for him to put it downfield off some play action shot, and he checked down. You know, hard to blame him when you got a guy like Zachariah Branch. So that's one thing we learned is, you know, this guy's got some juice and he's going to be a big part of the team. But I think the longest throw downfield was like 24 or 25 yards. And George only had one play that went for more than 25 yards the whole game. So we know that Kirby's talked about wanting to be explosive on offense. So we didn't really see the short yardage game needs work. They didn't really see the, you know, explosive part of the game that Georgia wants to see. You know, these are things, though, that take time. And, you know, Kirby talked about it being a process. And so this next game against Austin Peay, this is an opportunity to take a big step before you go to Rocky Top.
It's a Mike Griffith, guys, from Dog Nation, as we're live here at Napa. The flag giveaway continues to 7 here at Jonesboro Road and Morrow at the Napa store. Falcons, come on down, Falcon fans. You know, the thing is, it's hard to gauge, and be as respectful as you can, Mike, to Marshall, but we know the backstory. You know, the coach left for Southern Miss. They flipped half, more than half the roster. That offense is just terrible. So what could you gauge on the defensive performance?
Nothing, you know, and they didn't show anything. I mean, there was no pressure. And that's fine. I think the Georgia defense, I feel very comfortable saying this, I don't think there's anything to worry about. Like, I really feel like all the boxes are checked. I think they're deep and talented at every level. I think this could be the best defense in the SEC. Now, Texas is awful good, too. You saw that. They held Ohio State to 11 first downs and 14 points and 203 yards. So Texas defense is going to be nasty. But Georgia defense, this is going to be the best defense we've seen since 2022. So that's the good news. But the questions about the offense, I mean, I'm pretty sure Tennessee is going to be better than Marshall. And so,
yeah,
you know, having to go for it on fourth down on your first two drives, I mean, Kirby's not going to do that in Knoxville. So those were really field goal drives.
Right.
You know, and then the third touchdown came on a 20-yard drive after a blocked punt, which was a great play. But, again, you can't really count on that. So we're talking about needing fourth down conversions and block field goals to score touchdowns on Marshall on the first five or six possessions. And it is what it is. Now, maybe Kirby calls it different if it's Tennessee, and maybe Georgia will be that much better. But they really weren't as dominant offensively as I had maybe hoped they would be, if you're thinking the progress has been made on the offensive line and in the backfield.
Mike, as we talk about this offense, look, it's early. But we know what it takes to win a national championship. We've seen it. Do you feel like it's going to be dynamic? I mean, I saw the receivers. There were some plays. I went, okay, they didn't have that last year, Zachary. But at what point do we feel that? Do you think that happens in the Tennessee game? Because that's what I'm waiting on, where we see, okay, they have that ability to take it to another level. They didn't need to Saturday. I get that.
You know, college football has changed so much now, guys. It's almost two seasons. You know, last year when Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois in the second week of the season, I don't think anybody thought they looked like a team that'd be playing for the national championship. So, you know, there's time for this team to develop. We know that Gunnar Stockton's made of the right stuff. You know, we know he watches all the film and he has all the intangibles. Can he grow like Stetson Bennett grew? I don't know. He doesn't appear to be as explosive of a runner, but he's probably a better student of the game. His arm strength seems on par, but I don't know that he can make all the throws. But forget that. The question, you brought it up, is who's he throwing to? You know, Zachariah Branch and who else? I mean, Brock Bowers isn't coming out of that tunnel. For all the talk about the Georgia tight ends, they haven't impressed the head coach, much less the fan base. So you haven't really got the pick-me-up there. The running game, it's going to be good, but, you know, DeAndre Swift and James Cook ain't coming out that tunnel. So I think it's really more about the supporting cast and the offensive line. You know, they lost four guys. So
right.
There's a lot of growth that needs to take place. It's really just about survival. And as much as we're sitting here talking about Georgia, there's just about every team in the SEC could be having this conversation about things they need to work on at this stage.
Mike Griffith with us, guys, from Dog Nation. And you mentioned the offensive line. Juan Gaston, Ernest Green banged up. It's big when you talk about ankle injuries. You get a little skittish about that. But will the offensive line be in place for the Tennessee game?
Yeah, I would think Juan would be back. But, you know, his pass rush grade wasn't all that. I know they put out a nice clip of him destroying some guy when he was pulling. But, you know, the guy's got a little work to do in the pass D. Look, Tennessee's got a really good front. And, you know, they've got their final warm-up game this week against East Tennessee. Right now, to me, it's a two-game season. If you're a Georgia fan, it's a two-game season, right?
You got you're not fretting Alabama.
Warm-up game. Well, worry about Alabama after Tennessee. But right now, you better not look past the Big Orange because, They're really good in their defensive front, and their quarterbacks come out slinging. I don't know what he's going to do against Kirby's pressure. I don't know how well those Tennessee receivers will get open against Georgia DBs. But conversely, I don't know how well Georgia's going to be able to run the ball into a pretty good Tennessee frame. That's Rodney Garner. You guys remember Rodney Garner. You know who he
is. Yeah,
they build pretty good defensive front up there. And if these guys can't block Marshall on third and short, you know, somebody's got to score first in Knoxville. I think that's going to be a low-scoring game.
Interesting. Mike Griffith joining us from Dog Nation, guys, talking about the SEC. Let's just kind of go around the conference real quick. Brian Kelly needed a big win, and he got it. Did that prove anything to you outside of the, you know, Nussmeier making some plays at the end? Or do you believe that LSU is going to be the real deal?
No, I think they're the real deal. You know, they were the real deal in the transfer portal. They were the real deal when it came to signing checks. You know, I asked Brian Kelly about that this week and said, you know, what's it like coming to this league trying? He said, look, you're not coming into this league and out-coaching anybody. You're not going to out-scheme anybody in the SEC. So there are no geniuses coming in. You got to get players. And LSU went out and spent money on players, and Alabama didn't. You know, I mean, heck, you know, look at Justice Haynes up there, the Buford guy that Georgia wanted to say, heck, Georgia couldn't even get him out of the portal. He goes to Alabama, right. He takes the next trip out of town to Michigan, he's going for 159 yards. Alabama could have used him. Then they got Julian Sand, this five-star guy that was at Alabama. Ohio State bought him. Thank you very much. Buckeyes start him. And don't forget Caleb Downs. You know, speaking of Georgia kids that got away,
best
player in the SEC, now he's the best defensive player at Ohio State. If you take away, guys, if you take away the quarterback, the best running back, and the best defensive player off any team, they're not going to be as good. And that's what happened to Alabama. They didn't pony up at the table. They're still paying Nick Saban. This is true. They're still paying Nick Saban $500,000 a year. They better start putting that money in a portal to keep these kids around.
It's a great point because, you know, and by the way, we played that soundbite from Kalen DeBoer. Talk about a guy sounds like he's reaching for straws. And, you know, you start to lose the support of some of the big money folks in Bama. I don't even know where that's going to go. Meanwhile, and you mentioned, you know, the rest of the SEC. What is your take on Sarkisian? Because Carl and I kind of went round and round after the Ohio State game. Arch Manning, is he overhyped or is just the expectations were just so over the top? It was nothing short of 300 yards and four touchdowns was going to suffice.
Well, two different questions there. So you're probably right as far as the hype and it was going to be hard to live up to. But, look, I put this on Sarkisian. You know, at the start of this conversation, we were talking about great defenses, and Texas has a great defense. Guess what? Arch gets to practice against those guys every day. So they didn't have him ready for the moment. I think Caleb Downs affected that game. You know, I think that they did some things defensively that confused him, and he wasn't certain, and he didn't look prepared for the moment. I also don't think the play calling was great. I mean, they were 1 of 5 on fourth downs. They got a really good running game, by the way. I don't know why they didn't keep running the ball. Sometimes I think Sark's guilty of that. But, yeah, I think I put that on the coaches as much as I do Arch Manning. Look, we've known this game was coming for a long time. They had a long time to get ready to play that game in Columbus, and they weren't ready for the moment. And that's on Steve Sarkisian. And, listen, I'm not a Sark hater. I like the guy. I think he's
– right.
You know, I called him out in Atlanta and probably upset a lot of Texas people when I said I was insulted that he tried to pretend like NIL wasn't, you know, one of the priorities when kids go. Of course it is. Don't stand up there and lie to us. Don't tell us bald-faced lies in Atlanta when you're sitting in front of a room of 200 media people with IQs over, you know. Like, we're not stupid, Sark. You're not at a pep rally. You pay for players. Ohio State pays for players. Guess what? Georgia pays for players. And if Alabama could pay for better players, they might be competitive again. That's why Nick Saban left, because he didn't have the best players anymore. That's what Spurrier said was going to happen. He said Saban's going to leave when he doesn't have best players anymore. That's exactly what happened. So, but yeah, I put it on Sark because I think they've got the players. And I think Texas will be fine, though. I think they got a few games before they play another power conference team. They'll be back on the rails. SEC office gave them a bye week before the Georgia game. Thank you very much. Yeah. So I think Texas got plenty of time to get back on the rails. That's why they're still the favorites to win the SEC, according to DraftKings.com.
Yeah, no doubt about it. As far as contenders, just last thing for me, you know, you said LSU looks the part, and I agree with the money. I think it was $18 million they spent in the portal. Obviously, you know, you're talking about Texas, who I think at the end of the day will be there at the end of the year, but Sark's got to get his crap together. What about the surprise team? And I say this because what team, in your opinion, and I know, again, after week one, Mike Griffith, it's easy to say, well, this team really looked good. But some of these teams we've been talking about, and, you know, is South Carolina – I thought that was a big win for Shane Beamer to start the season with the way they finished last year. I just feel like, you know what, and again, I don't know what they'll be, you know, week 10, but maybe they surprise some people here, not only in the SEC, but around the country.
I mean, look, listen, everybody loves Shane Beamer. I mean, everybody loves Shane Beamer, and, you know, Lenore Sellers is as good as they come, but I just don't think he, you know, that was Virginia Tech over there, and not the one with Michael Vick 20 years ago either, okay? So let's not get too carried away about beating Virginia Tech and needing a special teams touchdown to distance yourself. I think South Carolina is still South Carolina. I think, you know, he does not have the supporting cast. I think they're going to miss the running back, Rocket Sanders, quite a bit. You know, Ole Miss put up 63 with Austin Simmons. You know, if they can run the ball effectively, that could be a team to watch for. Hugh Freeze and Auburn, you know, they went on the road and beat a good Baylor team. So, you know, that was the – and then Tennessee, you know, the transfer quarterback comes in and he's slinging it. So,
Aguilar.
You know, those are three teams now that are – you know, and let's not forget about Texas A&M. I mean, you know, they brought back a lot of talent, put away a UTSA team that's better than most people know. That just sounds like an alphabet, you know, soup school, but UTSA is actually pretty good. We'll find out about A&M when they play Notre Dame. We'll find out about Tennessee when they play Georgia. We'll find out a little bit more about Ole Miss when they go to Kentucky. And as for Auburn, I mean, you know, I'm trying to think what their next big game is. Hugh Freeze is kind of all over the map, kind of like a knuckleball pitcher. You know, some games he looks great. Other games, you know, you just don't know what you're going to get from Auburn. It'd be interesting to see if they can find some continuity with Jackson Arnold at quarterback.
Great stuff, man. Mike Griffith, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week, man. Appreciate you.
Look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. You know, it's funny because you mentioned he had a great point. Texas had all summer to get ready for Ohio State, just like Clemson had all summer to get ready for LSU in their house. And Kate Klubnik basically saying, I spent more time focused on what they were doing than what we should have been doing. That's on coaching.
I mentioned this Monday when I said, coming out of the bye week, you expect your team in the NFL to be ready because you've had all week to prepare. Same thing applied for this game. And that's why it was crap. That's why it felt the way it did for a lot of Texas fans, even though the defense played great. We'll see how it plays out, man. We love college football. We talk plenty of college football on this show, and that's what it's all about.
Look at this crowd, man. Make some noise over here, people online over here. That's what I'm talking about.
They said, I'll make my noise when I get these flags in my hand. I'll make my noise when I get this flag.
Jerry Snorwood signed autographs from, look at Miss State, my boy right here.
Yeah, they like, no, JJ, hurry up with these signings, man. I need to get my flag. Hey, we're coming back. Jesse Bates says this defense is going to look different. It's going to feel different. And we'll let you hear what he said about the DC next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's this defense going to look like? We're talking about the Falcons as we're down here at Napa Auto Parts, guys. Folks still in line to get their Falcon flags. Brother just brought me one, Mike. Look at this thing, man. Dirty Birds, baby. Friday, tomorrow we're at the pep rally at Atlantic Station.
Oh, man.
And then Sunday it's going down. What's up?
So we have a situation developing. One of our listeners, Orlando, in an effort to get here in time to get his Falcons flag, did get pulled over by the man.
Stop it.
Yeah, he got a speeding ticket.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the guy waving over there online. Yeah, Orlando got you. He got down.
Oh, man. I'm sorry about that.
He got hassled by the man.
He was rushing down here to get his flag.
Yeah, but he got his flag. But meeting so many great folks, and one of our ladies just came over and said, my boyfriend sees you guys at the Hooters in Buford.
Okay.
So want us to come and say hello. Great crowd getting their Falcons flags here until 7 o'clock and also the Douglasville Napa store as well.
That's correct. And tomorrow, just a quick mention, we will be at Atlantic Station for the pep rally. I don't think that starts until 6.
We'll be at Hobnob. So for you guys, if you're going to go to the pep rally, or maybe you're catching a movie at Atlantic Station, why not swing by 2 to 6 and get dinner with us at Hobnob? I mean, we're not buying dinner, but come on down and hang out. I mean, but we'll be hanging out at Hobnob, and then, of course, the pep rally with T.I., personal friend of the show, Tip, will be doing his thing.
Yes, he is. All right, Jesse Bates was talking today. He's ready to hit the field. He's ready to unveil what he says is a new defense, Mike. He says, from the perspective of what we did last year, there will be some things that, you know, are similar, but there's a lot of new things we're doing. And he talked about the coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, who played linebacker for the 49ers. He said he brings a different approach to the coordinator's position. So I just want you to hear what we talked about a little bit earlier.
Let's hear from the man.
Yeah, earlier this hour in the Falcon Report, when he was talking about what he thinks Jeff Ulbrich brings to this position.
Yeah, I would say it's, I don't look at it as a bad thing. Obviously, I want guys to be around. I don't want to have a new DC next year. I want to have Brick for sure. But it helps you expand your knowledge of, you know, like I said, there's different ways to play different coverages, but they're all very similar, and it helps you, you know, understand people's different philosophies. And then you got someone who's played in the league and at a high level for 10 years. So, you know, it's a little different when you got somebody that's been in your seats. I think the teaching is a little bit different with Brick, and just his presence, man. That's one thing I've been really impressed with is the person that he is and the way that he's, you know, explaining our style of play. He lives by it. That's what he does day by day. I don't know if you guys know much about him, but, I mean, he's going through things at his house, and he never shows it. And it just says a lot, and it's easy to play for a guy like that, and I can't wait to display that this Sunday.
Guy, we talked about playing linebacker. You can look up Jeff Ulbrich NFL as a player, and you see him. He looked like that crazy linebacker. And Carl and I were touching on it earlier for guys who missed the conversation. It's not like it's a thinly veiled knock on Jimmy Lake, but if you follow the Falcons and know the story from last year, it's almost like, okay, this guy gets it, and we respect him because of his experience and his knowledge, but maybe there wasn't that same vibe with Jimmy Lake, and it showed certainly that Jimmy Lake was in over his head as far as some of the defensive schemes and play calls.
I'll put it to you guys this way, and I hope this never happens, but when you're on a plane and something goes wrong, you want the guy who knows how to correct the problem, not the guy who just knows how to fly the plane. That is where we were last year. When things went wrong, Jimmy Lake wasn't sure how to correct it, and that's why Raheem Morris had to ultimately step in. You get that with Jeff Ulbrich. Now, I'm not telling you he's going to be the best defensive coordinator in the league, but when things can go wrong, and he saw it go wrong here when he was with the Falcons, he saw it go wrong with the Jets, I think he has an understanding of, okay, here's what we might need to do to correct it. And the other part about this is, Mike, when we talk about what this defense is and what it isn't going to be, I think when Jesse Bates talks about, you know, having a guy, he doesn't want to go through another defensive coordinator. I'm going to tell you guys this. During the summer, Mike and I, maybe it was the mini camp, OTAs, he comes in, Jesse Bates comes in, and I asked him a question about how frustrated he was last year in the last game of the season against Carolina, where we gave up a bunch of points. And Jesse didn't speak to the media, for those who don't remember, after that game, which is very uncommon.
Like, he's a leader.
He's always
never going to shirk his responsibilities, right?
He was pissed. The communication broke down. The points added up. We lose that game to Carolina. And his whole thing was, man, we got to get that kind of stuff corrected. When you are a focused guy like Bates is, Mike, that stuff drives you crazy.
Right. We were a hot mess. You let Bryce Young came in here and looked like Fran Tarkington.
Yes.
I mean, just lit us up and unfortunately spoiled the 300-yard performance for Michael Penix Jr. with two touchdowns. So that's why last year, when guys always ask me, why are you down on Ra? I don't like his game management. Hopefully he improves on that. Arthur Blank talked about it in the offseason and having better people around. I mean, I hope we've got the right offensive line coach to deal with the injuries we're dealing with and how we're doing the next man up. But Jeff Ulbrich, already hearing it, people, like, I wasn't sold on Ulbrich necessarily, but hey, what Jesse Bates says, and they're buying into it, and now we're going to see what the results look like on Sunday.
Yeah, and that's
how do you get Baker Mayfield off the spot? How do you not let him get the ball out so fast to really hurt us? Especially, Carl, he's one of the running backs. He's one quick hits to the wide receivers. You think of Mike Evans down the field, that comes from you drawing in on some of those short pass plays.
Yeah. Look, if they're running the ball early in this game, we're in trouble. I'm telling you right now. Because that all that stuff Mike's talking about is just going to open up, and it becomes a problem now what you want to pick and choose and try to defend. We gotta clamp down on Bucky Irving, Mike, early in this game.
Hey, I thought they could have beaten us if they used more Bucky Irving in the game in Tampa. I know I talked about that a number of times, but that's a game. Think about the plays it took to beat Tampa last year. Jesse Bates with a fumble. A.J. Terrell with an amazing diving interception at the goal line. You know, the stop by the defense, pushing the Bucks backwards, forcing overtime. Remember the overtime?
That's right.
The coup kick. And then Kadarrell Hodge, man, on the craziest of plays. So, and that's why when we talked to Rick Stroud, he says, man, Tampa Bay's coming here with some attitude. They're a little ticked off about how they got beat by us twice last year.
Hey, man, reminder tonight, we have the first game of the season. It's Cowboys-Eagles. You can listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pregame starts at 7, so Chris has got a show from 6 until 7. Then the pregame will start leading you all the way up to kickoff. You guys know the NFL does it big on the opening
so
night.
So it's like Turtle on the half shell.
It's a good call. That's a good call. Right. Yes, it is. 6 to 7 for Turtle, and then the pregame show. Reminder tomorrow, if you're going out to Atlantic Station, Mike said it, come on out early. We'll be out there at Hobnob. But the actual festivities with the pep rally doesn't start till about 6 o'clock. And they do a great job, man. It's a lot of fun getting hyped for Sunday. And so many people, Mike, have come out today and been like, y'all ready for Sunday?
Yes, yes, I am. I'm ready for tonight. As a matter of fact, I mean, it's a perfect night. If you sit outside, whether it's your local watering hole in your backyard, if you've got the TV on, go watch this Eagles-Cowboys. All right, let's get a prediction. 8.5 is the point spread. What do you think happens tonight?
I think they cover. I think they lose, but I think they cover. Look, if the Eagles are who we think they are, they come into this game and they show how dominant their personnel is. They're just better right now than most teams, all teams for that matter.
Down to 8, by the way, in some books.
Well, I think that's because people are thinking like I am. Like, it's just a lot to say, like, Dak's going to wet the bed. The Cowboys aren't going to do anything tonight. Like, that's what you're telling. The way I get a sense is, like, this is going to be 24-3 or 27-3. I don't feel that way. It'll be closer than that.
The Cowboys, they just don't have the running back.
They don't.
You could have had Derrick Henry. Of course, Jerry made excuses about not having the money for that. And they're kind of doing it by committee.
But
even people who cover the Cowboys don't even know what that running game is going to look like tonight.
But if they don't show up tonight, it is going to be a long season because they're going to get exposed early with this defense. And everybody isn't able to shut the run down like the Eagles.
Right.
But if they are able to limit the Cowboys and make them one-dimensional and all of a sudden you see they can't run the ball, it's going to be a long year for the Cowboys.
Jalen Carter going to have a big night tonight?
Well, who's stopping that dude?
He is like the Kool-Aid man.
Who's blocking that guy?
Right. So Jalen Carter, busted in. You know what? Man, I really like the Eagles in this one. Can you give it to me at 8? Let me show you the numbers real quick.
It's 8.5.
No, take a look real quick. Show it moved. It moved, Carl. It moved. Somebody bet the Cowboys. See, I got 8.
8.5.
Now, right here, look. See, I got 8. I got MGM
says
8.
What betting sites are you on? You're on these illegal betting sites.
Las Vegas, Nevada, my brother.
Huh?
Caesar's Palace, 8. See, I bet on Las Vegas
Boulevard. Why is it 8.5 on those other books?
What's that country code, Mike? Is it saying .com or .ag?
FanDuel has it at 8.5.
Guess what? I'm going with casinos that are built on the ground on Las Vegas Boulevard, and they got it at the Ocho. Give it to me at 8?
Hell no! 8.5!
Hey, Dave, I'm asking you. You're not the producer. Damien, can I have it at 8? I got Caesar's Palace, and I got
that's one of his
MGM
picks.
Has got it
at 8. He's trying to put in one of his picks before we get out of here.
We'll let him have it.
Give me the Eagles.
Damn it.
-8. So they got to win by 9. Win by 9. I just did it, Orin. I did it.
Okay. There you go.
I think Jalen Hurts is disrespected and doesn't get the love.
I do agree with
that. And I don't believe any of that. And Cam Newton, stop hating on quarterbacks.
Thanks to the good folks at Antigua for that line, huh?
That's right.
Hey, man, we got to get out of here. Let's clear our throat. Damn, Day 8. Big shout out to O back at the studio, keeping us on. Of course, our man Day Day, executive producing, and G Money Gordon out here. Man, the ladies are out here. Gordon, your wife's not listening.
Hey,
she?
Ladies!
The ladies out here were like, "Who's this?"
Hey, girl.
They were like, "Who? Let's take a picture with him." I was like, "The engineer. He keeps y'all on the air."
G Money.
It's like, man,
who? You're the dog now.
So yeah, big shout out, G. Thank you so much. Tomorrow, Atlantic Station guys, 2 to 6, we'll be out there, and more Falcon conversation. We'll get you ready for the big college football weekend. What happens tonight, and then tomorrow, believe it or not, we got Chiefs Chargers in Brazil to talk about.
Aye, Poppy. Aye.
We'll get to all of that and more. Thanks to the Falcons, and people are still in line to get their Falcon flags. Freddie the Falcon and all the folks out here, and Napa Auto Parts as well. All right, man, we got to get out of the way. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, ability, availability. Second round picks with the Falcons. Kind of a horror show the last 10 years. Yes, I'm going to talk about Nick Benito. It's come up a few times the last few years. We could have had this dude. He got drafted 6 spots after we took Troy Anderson with an E in the E in the N. And unfortunately, Troy just can't stay healthy. He's played 9 games the last 2 seasons. Nick Benito just got $70 million guaranteed because he sacks the quarterback. 13 sacks last year, 23 in his first 3 seasons. That's a guy that could have been wearing a Falcon uniform. We went cute. We got in love with somebody at the combine out of Montana State.
North Carolina first-year head coach Bill Belichick apparently has banned the New England Patriots staff from assessing the Tar Heel program.
Oh.
You want to talk about petty.
Jeez.
You need to be banning your girlfriend from being down on the sidelines.
Right.
This is getting ridiculous.
Dad, can I have $20?
Apparently he doesn't want Patriot staff assessing the Tar Heel program.
What?
Mike, it makes no sense. Why don't you focus on the games at first that you got right. coming up?
And if anything, you guys go in the NFL. What do you mean? You're afraid of the evaluation?
I don't know. Yeah, obviously you're not talking about a lot of things. This is going to get interesting with Belichick, and it's just begun.
Hey, it's a topic show, neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you just got a speeding ticket from Lake City PD.
That ain't right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.